This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'm delighted that you chose to spend time with us today and the Word of God. In the society in which we live today, there are many things that make us uncomfortable, many things that we see going on that trouble us. Perhaps you are experiencing some things personally in your life. If that is the case, let me just draw your attention to how uncomfortable we are as a society. People are losing their homes. They are out of work. They're troubled by the political climate in which we live. They're troubled by society in general. And where are we headed when you really analyze it all? It is a difficult situation to contemplate, including war, rumors of war, tsunamis, earthquakes, all kinds of things. And now, in our travel, we have to subject ourselves to an uncomfortable state by having ourselves viewed by these unbelievable, I guess you shouldn't call them cameras, X-ray equipment, I suppose. And if you don't choose to do that, you've got to go through a pat-down situation. Where has the time gone when we used to just go and check in at the airport? Well, 9/11 kind of changed all of that. We have subjected ourselves to an uncomfortable state of being. And that affects the believer, the Christian, as they navigate through life. How do you respond to circumstances that are absolutely out of control? I don't know about you, but I live in a city where invariably going into the gas stations within the inner city or any convenience store, you're going to run into people who are going to ask you for some change. They're going to ask you to help them in some kind of way. And I've come to a place in my life now as I navigate through society of wanting to speak words of comfort to people rather than ostracism and just cold-heartedness. I may not be able to give them any money. I may not be able to assist them with what they may need, but I know ultimately they need to be in a comfortable state that will usher them into the presence of God. You say, wow, that's a big undertaking. Well, not really. You and I know people within our own families, perhaps, who are in trouble, who have difficulties, who have situations beyond their control. I have 6 grandchildren, and the oldest one is about to turn 18, and I saw him a few weeks ago, and it stunned me, you know, to realize he's going to be an adult, he's going to graduate from high school, and he's going out into real life. He says he wants to join the Air Force, so I figured out that they will either make him or break him when he goes into society, but I decided that I needed to speak some words of comfort into his life. His father, the biological person who presented him with life, is in prison for life, and he has no relationship with him. He has a stepfather along with my daughter and so forth, but he's not comfortable with himself. He's not comfortable with life, and you and I both know people in such a fix. Well, let me interrupt myself before I continue on today to share with you what we're offering in today's program. The material is entitled True Discipleship. That's the literature, True Discipleship. And the sermon is by me, which is offered to you, entitled From Conflict to Comfort. From Conflict to Comfort. And in order for you to receive this material, all you have to do is make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. Or stop by our website at www.cgi.org. And all of this material that we offer, everything we ever offer on the Armor of God, is absolutely free of charge to you. But in addition, by the way, if you want to participate in our live webcasting, You can go to our homepage at www.cgi.org, hit the link, and it will give you the times in which this program occurs. It'll be on Saturdays. We are Sabbath observers, and so that program will be there for you. All right? Now, let's continue with today's program. My subtitle for this program is, Are You Comfortable? There's a passage of Scripture that I use in funerals a lot, but I find it now important to use beyond the funeral situation, because the loss of a loved one is not the only discomfort we experience in life. Sometimes we have other discomforts that challenge us. We don't have a strong relationship with God, perhaps. We don't even know if there is a God. We don't know if this Bible that you can find prominently on display in many places is the Word of God. So we are uncomfortable. We are out of connection with God. But here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in what is called the second epistle to the Corinthians. He says in chapter 1 and verse 3 the following, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Got some financial issues bearing down upon you? Trouble with the kids, trouble with the spouse, trouble with neighbors, trouble with the job. All of those things are permeating in our society. Trouble with those in Washington, D.C., trouble with those in the capitals of your state, or perhaps in the country where you live. What do you do about that? Who do you turn to in those kinds of situations? Well, the Apostle Paul here says, he greets these people in Corinth, he said, In the name of the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, plural. Have you ever needed some mercy, needed some grace, needed some comfort, just somebody to understand your circumstance? Well, let me paint the picture for you before I continue with the scriptures. Jesus Christ, who was once dead and is now alive, sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And the Bible describes him as our high priest, our advocate. He advocates on our behalf. And all it requires is that you confess to the Lord, the Father, and then reference Jesus Christ sitting at his right hand, because you need to pray in his name. And you can say to the Father, Now, Lord, I am human. And your Son experienced in humanity, in the existence of his walking on this earth, great trauma, great difficulty. Jesus ran into all kinds of people, didn't he? He ran into people who were blind, who were halt, lame, people who were widows, people in dire straits, lepers, outcasts, drunkards, all kinds of people that he ran into, and he spoke words of comfort into their lives. And he does the same thing today as he sits at the right hand of the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good to know. It's good to have a resource such as that, a all-powerful resource. But the Apostle Paul goes here in this passage to suggest this, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all of our tests, all of our trials. We can gain comfort from a relationship with the Father and with Jesus Christ. Why? That we may be able to comfort them all which are in trouble or any trouble. That inspires me. I've had occasions now to talk with indigent people, visit with them, go into a nursing home just this week of the recording of this program, to visit one person and wind up visiting with a wide range of people because it's a nursing home. And some of the people there get no visits whatsoever from their loved ones or any care except for the people who work there. But if you come in as a new person or a stranger, they want to shake your hand. They want to be touched by you. They want to be comforted by your presence. That's a powerful thing to think about. And what this passage is saying, that if you receive comfort from Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ from the Father, then you must turn around and dispense the same kind of comfort to others. That means I can't just express myself in a negative fashion to people just because I'm fleshly. I'm human. I'm a human being. I can't react in traffic like I used to. You know, rasher, frasher, rasher, whatever you might say, which nobody's around you, you know, to know what you're saying. But you know what, how you cut off in the public and all that. But to calm yourself down, to lessen the conflict that is facing you. You know what I mean? And I think you do. But it's so hard, isn't it, to comfort other people because you want to be comfortable yourself. You return to the days of your youth, you know, when you were a baby, when you could demand to be comforted, change my diaper, feed me, hold me, and all those kinds of things. That's what children do. But when you mature, you wind up realizing that you must provide comfort to others. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to encourage, when this program airs, I'm going to encourage my grandson, the oldest one I mentioned, to watch it because he has younger siblings, younger brothers. And I want him to get the point that as an 18-year-old, he has a responsibility to comfort and instruct and guide and help his older brothers, younger brothers. You follow what I'm saying? It's a powerful thing to recognize that you have something to give to someone else. But let's read on as to what Paul says here. Who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I've lived a little while now, heading towards 70 somewhere along the way, and it's stunning to think about it. You know, I look in the mirror and sometimes, well, who's that old guy looking back at me? But in the process of living, I have learned now that there were people who spoke comfort into my life. As a young boy without a father around, single mother and all of that, there were people who spent time sharing with me, guiding me, helping me along the way. Now, I was a hard nut to crack. And it took God a little longer than just a couple of days to get through to me, and he's still trying to crack a couple of nuts. I mean, you know, this noggin is a hard one to get through. What about you? And in so doing, I have come to a place now of wanting to be a comfort to other people in their conflict, in their situation. As a minister, obviously, I get to talk with people about personal issues in their lives. But you don't have to be a minister to do that. You don't have to be a minister to share with people spiritual values, spiritual insight, spiritual discernment, and all those kinds of things. You can comfort people by your approach. If you go into the public all the time with your hackles up, your defenses on, and never wanting to share with anybody, get into the place of business and get out, never a greeting, never holding a door open for anyone, even if they don't say thank you, all of that is important for us to develop in our minds how to comfort other people. This passage goes on to say this. It is for your consolation and salvation. This idea that you comfort others as you have been comforted leads others towards the step towards salvation and the fullness of what that means. Do you realize that you and I are the kinds of sermons that a person can view rather than hear? And the best sermons are those you can see in action, comforting other people, comforting people in circumstances. You don't have to go all the way to New Orleans to talk with people. You don't have to go all the way to Haiti. There are many people in our communities who suffer tragedies, suffer tribulations, suffer trials. And it's up to the true believers, the true disciples of Christ, to do what he did. And well, what did he do? For instance, over in the Gospel of John, I'm going to turn to that now. John, the 11th chapter, that's the chapter that deals with the death of Lazarus and Jesus' visitation to Lazarus when he found out that he had died or that he was sick and so forth. And when he got there, he finds out that he had died. But before Jesus gets there, there's a statement here made concerning the Pharisees or the Jews who came to comfort, it says, Mary and Martha. Look at what it says in chapter 11 and verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Have you ever taken time to comfort someone? I know we Americans and Canadians and those who are viewing this program have a tendency to really be effusive in helping those who are indigent and out of sorts and going through tragedies of all kinds. I know that's generally what we do. Sometimes we do it by extension. That is, we don't have to get our hands dirty. We can just send a check or something like that. But there are those people who put themselves on the front line, you know, who get on buses and trucks and carry materials off to those who have suffered tragedies of great trauma to assist them, and they are really responding to the call of Jesus Christ to do that. Now, in Matthew, there's a passage there that I think we should take a look at, Matthew the 11th chapter. Yes, Matthew 11, and we'll look at verse 28, where Jesus makes a statement concerning what he wants his followers to do. And if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, look at what he says here. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me pause and think about that for a moment. That's a comforting statement. I won't chew you out. I won't lambast you. I won't slap you verbally upside the head. But if you come unto me, if you are under heavy labor, heavy burdens, the tax bill is due, the house payment is so far behind, you're in danger of losing your home, the cupboard is virtually bare, children are out of control, all of those kinds of things, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, heavy burden, and I will give you rest." But there's a process in this. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." He uses the analogy of a team of horses or a team of oxen that are yoked together. And in this analogy, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And in the process of learning of Jesus Christ, he will teach us some things about how he responded in the conditions of his day. And then we are in return to respond likewise. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Are you haughty, heavy-handed, rambunctious, know-it-all? Can you listen? Can you be patient and kind towards other people? Can you share your comfortable zone with others? That's what Jesus is basically saying here. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Compared to the burdens we carry, compared to the troubles we go through, the difficulties that face us, that's an encouraging statement. But it's not just a New Testament concept. It is not just for those who believe that Jesus, you know, once he came on the scene, he changed everything of the old Father and the Old Testament. Father doesn't even appear there generally except for one occasion. But my point is that we think that Jesus came to soften the ways of God, the Old Testament God, the violent God, the angry God, the destructive God. No, because there's a passage in Isaiah, if you'll turn with me there, Isaiah the 40th chapter, a powerful statement. And I want to emphasize the comfort statement here. Right in the very first verse, here's what we read. "Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, says your God." Ancient Israel and the Jews, who are part of ancient Israel, were in trouble a lot. And unfortunately, the house of Israel, after dividing between the house of Judah and the house of Israel, virtually disappeared. The house of Israel, they were still around, but they disappeared. But the house of Judah was still prominent. And Isaiah is writing and speaking about those people. And he quotes God as saying, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, says your God." Then he says, "Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem." I wonder how much comfort is spoken in Jerusalem. Or is it all about warfare and protectionism and wondering when the other shoe is going to drop, and if Iran gets the bomb, and what will the neighbors do, and the neighbors are plotting and planning on what they shall do. But it goes far beyond just the Middle East. But in this statement, the apostle, or I should say the prophet Isaiah, writes down what God says. Speak ye comfortably to Detroit. Speak ye comfortably to Cleveland. Speak ye comfortably to New York. Now, in speaking comfortably, sometimes you got to rattle a few cages to get some attention. I understand that. But ultimately, you want people to know, if you declare what sin is and the result of sin, whether it's dealing with homosexuality, yes, the Bible describes it as a sin. I'm not speaking constitutionally. I'm speaking biblically. Adultery, the Bible describes as sin. Wrong financial appetites, the Bible describes as sin. Going your own way apart from God, the Bible describes as sin, and the result of sin is death. Bottom line. So, if you speak comfortably to Los Angeles and San Francisco and Phoenix and all of the places, or Windsor, Ontario, or wherever you might be viewing this program, if you speak comfortably to them, what is the point of it? That her warfare is accomplished. In other words, it's over. You don't have to fight and struggle and reach such a consternated state of being where you cannot function anymore, where you are paralyzed and you can't move beyond square one. The Word of God encourages us that we are more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can ascend to a higher plane because we have accepted the call of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye who labor. Come unto me. If I comfort you, then you in turn can comfort someone else. And in this passage we are looking at now, it declares this, that the warfare is accomplished, and sometimes we think of warfare as just bombs and guns and bullets and all of that. But sometimes the warfare is internal. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. You follow? Well, in addition to overcoming our warfare, the Word says this, that her iniquity, sin, is pardoned. Wow. You mean to tell me I can be forgiven for some of the unbelievable things I have done? And we know in this world a lot has been done, sometimes in the name of religion, if you will. As I record this program, we've just come through a National Day of Remembrance of all of those who served in the military in the United States, Veterans Day. And I had a chance to sit and talk with a couple of veterans, both from the Vietnam era. One had gone through horrific drug addiction, which started in Vietnam, and another who had, you can see in his body, the injuries that he endured and subjected also to Agent Orange. And I thank them for their service, which we should all do. But in talking with them, I wanted to speak words of comfort to them, because that's the example of Jesus Christ. That's the example of the Apostle Paul. That's the example of the Word of God. Not condemn them, not call them baby killers, as we did when they were coming home from that horrendous war. And now we have great respect for the Gulf War folk and Afghanistan. We are waving the flag vociferously about it. But speaking comfort to them, speaking comfort to those who have lost loved ones in the battle, speaking comfortably to those folk who have lost limbs and are mentally disturbed and distracted by what they have committed in their lives. They have seen things that no human being should ever see. And sometimes they just need a word of comfort. It goes on to say here, for she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, if you have committed sins, if you've gone through all of this great difficulty, God, through Jesus Christ, has a panacea for you. You can be relieved of your discomfort. You can come out of conflict. And how can you do that? Well, let me suggest this. It's impossible for me in the course of this program to tell you everything that you need to do, but I have a special sermon I've prepared that will give you some ins and outs and some progressions that you can make to get beyond the conflict. That sermon title, and we're offering it in today's program, is entitled From Conflict to Comfort. Conflict with your wife and your husband, conflict with your children, conflict with your neighbors, conflict with your families, conflict with the society around you. You can come from conflict to comfort. In addition, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you want to follow his example, remember when the four men brought unto him the man who was infected with, I think it was palsy, and they carried him on the bed, and they couldn't get through the door with so many people in the house where Jesus was. They went up on the roof, opened the roof up, and let the person down. You know how comfortable it was for them to take their belief, their persuasion, their conviction, and put it into action. True discipleship, if you will. They brought this man who was healed by Jesus Christ, and as a result, not only was the man comforted, they were comforted by their faith, and the society that observed them gained comfort in the fact, as Nicodemus said to Jesus, "We know you are a man sent from God, for no man can do what you do except God be with them." My friends, God is with us if we take up the call from Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Just reminding you before we leave today, you can get the material we've offered in today's program by simply calling 1-888-578-8791 or go to our website at www.cgi.org. And while you're there on the website, don't forget we've got a live webcasting going on, and you can hit the link there. We'll tell you the times when we are broadcasting. So join us in our presentations to you free of charge. And join us again here on The Armor of God. I'm Bronson James, along with all of my colleagues who work behind the scenes as well as before the camera, saying unto you, put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand in the evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.